And I'd like to talk to you about deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So I'd like for you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I have a very in-depth and lengthy study tonight. You'll get out of here by midnight. Amen. I'm only kidding. Don't worry. But I do have a lot of depth that I want to cover this evening in regards to the Word of God, because we're living in the last days, and the Bible talks about these last days, there'll be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And God doesn't want us to be deceived. God doesn't want us to be seduced. God wants us to embrace His truth and His love, but most importantly, the Word of God. The Word of God. We're to be a workman, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. We're constantly told about truth, and we're constantly told about love. But you can't have true love unless you have truth first. And so some people say, well, it's all about love. No, it's about truth. And it's about love. But truth must come first. So let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your great word that you are going to give us tonight. We pray, Lord, as we study, we learn, we grow, that we will be blessed, that we will be in tune with you, and that we will not be deceived in these last days by seducing doctrines and demons. So, Lord God, may you speak to us. May you guide us directly into your word, and may we declare your truth to others to set the captives free. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. May your hand be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. It was Adolf Hitler who said, if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, the people will believe. Hitler also said, let me control the textbooks and I will control the state. In Christianity, one might say, let me control the television, the internet, and I'll control the Christian population. It's important for us not to become parrots in Christianity. Someone told me this, so I just repeat what they told me. No, what does it say in the Word of God? What is the Word of God telling me? And as we grow in the Word of God, we develop ourselves in discerning truth. So we find ourselves in 1 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. And so let's read our text. The first verses, 1 to 5, deal with Timothy, who is a pastor. This is what's known as the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are known as pastoral epistles. Every pastor needs to study these and practice these, as this is how we're to run and organize and deal with the things of the church. So when we read this, I put in our notes, it is for Timothy as a pastor, and it's for all pastors, and for you as the congregation, you need to look and say, is my pastor preaching and teaching what is declared in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus? Those are the instructions for pastors. And if they're not, go to a church where a pastor is following the instructions of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. So we find here, in verses 1 to 5, Timothy, or pastor, the great apostasy is coming. The great apostasy is coming. That means there'll be a falling away from the faith in the last days. When we use the word faith, we talk about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Preachers will not be preaching and teaching the Word of God, the Bible. Or they'll just hunt and peck the Bible without keeping it in its context. This is very important to understand. The Word of God is to be taught in context, so we fully and clearly understand it. This is why we teach you expositionally. In other words, we teach from the Scriptures so that you would receive the Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. If you go to a church and they will not teach the book of Revelation, leave that church. Because the Bible says you're not to take away from the Word of God. You're not to add to the Word of God. They want to add extra books to you, forget it, man. You don't need extra books. You have the Bible, for example, the Book of Mormon or the Watchtower magazines and so forth. No, you don't need extra books. We have the unadulterated, inspired, all authoritative, infallible Word of God. This is what we need. Secondly, in verses 6 to 11, Timothy, pastor, is to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. He's not there to be an exalted individual. He's to be a servant of Jesus Christ. He's not to be called Holy Father. He's not to be called a vicar of Christ. In other words, He is the voice of Christ, and his words are just as authoritative as Jesus Christ. The authority comes from the already given Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. We also find in verses 12 to 16, Timothy, or pastor, is to take heed to his ministry. In other words, we must minister regularly, constantly, to God's people, the Word of God, and maintain sound biblical doctrine. So let's read this chapter quickly, and then we'll break it down for our learning. Now, the Spirit expressly says, in the latter times, now there's your key, in the last days, in the latter times, expressly in our day of which we are living, right before the second coming of Jesus Christ, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. He also then says, as Timothy is to be a servant of Jesus Christ, as all pastors are, he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to be disciples. We're here to be taught the Word of God so that we learn it, we love it, and we live it. And all God's people said. We find then in verses 12 to 16, Timothy, take heed to your ministry. Every pastor, take heed to your ministry. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now that's fascinating, is it not? You'll save yourself and those that hear you. Why does he say that? Because there's an apostasy that is coming. People will not follow, and pastors will not follow the Word of God. They won't teach it in all of its fullness. They won't maintain sound doctrine. There'll be a time where pastors will share and teach that it is okay to be a homosexual. In fact, we can have homosexuals and lesbians, gay men and lesbians, in the pulpits preaching and teaching the Word of God. In fact, from the pulpits, we can say we agree with evolution. We disagree with God's creation in the book of Genesis. We can say from the pulpit, oh, you know what? You need to pray to marry. Where the Bible says the contrary. No offense, Mary. But we pray through Jesus Christ to our Heavenly Father. You see, it's very, very important for us that we will not leave the faith, which is the Word of God. We will not practice, we will not teach, we will not receive, we will not believe, and that which is contrary to the Word of God. How about purgatory? Is there a purgatory? No. Why do you give Catholics, the Catholic Church, not Catholics, but the Catholic Church, why would you give people a false hope, a lie, that tells them they can be saved after death? When the Bible says once you die, then comes the judgment. It's a seducing doctrine of a demon. And I pray that the Catholic Church would repent and correct its teachings. But until they do, we will constantly teach against their false teachings and doctrines, because I'm commanded to do so. Does it make me feel exalted that I do it? No. I'm grieved that I have to do it. I'm grieved that they will not change their teachings, that the Pope calls himself Holy Father, and Jesus has called no man Father. But he takes that exalted title that only belongs to God himself. It is blasphemous. When the Roman Catholic Church gathers all the religions of the world for a global prayer meeting and says we're all united, when the Pope kisses the Quran and calls it a holy book, we're living in the last days, seducing doctrines, deceiving spirits. And we have many others, such as Joseph Smith with Mormonism. Are you going to follow Joseph Smith or Jesus Christ? Which is it? You going to follow the Bible or are you going to follow the Book of Mormon? Mormons, you've been deceived. You've been deceived into following the teachings of Joseph Smith, which so many of the archaeological and historical things he talks about in regards to Jesus coming to America and all this stuff, it's all bogus. The man had quite an imagination. And to teach that a man is going to become a god on his own planet, and then he'll have all these wives, and he gets to impregnate them, and they all get to populate his own planet, is absurd. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. We will be married to Jesus Christ for eternity. We're not going to be procreating and having our own planet. When you believe that Jesus Christ is the spirit brother of Lucifer, is a deceiving spirit and a doctrine of a demon. Jesus is not the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is our great God and Savior, according to Paul the Apostle. According to Thomas, my Lord and my God. He's not an angelic being who would be the spirit brother of Lucifer. Lucifer was an angelic being that fell and rebelled against God. Why do you teach that, Mormons? Turn from false doctrine and false teachings. And the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus Christ is the Archangel Michael. Not one angel in the Bible ever receives any worship. And if anybody tries to bow down before him, they would stop them, because worship is only due to God himself. But Jesus Christ receives worship because he is God, the second person of the Trinity. So vitally important that we study doctrine. I am not a divider. I am a uniter. I've had people, oh, you're so divisive. No, I'm not divisive. I unite around the Word of God. All preachers, all pastors must unite around the Word of God. That's where we unite. And if you're not going to preach the Word of God and you're going to lead people in false doctrines and false teachings, my dear friend, you are the divider. And as a shepherd who protects the sheep, you have to declare that there is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's important for us to realize this is what pastors are to be doing. And this is what we as God's people need to be learning, because there are many false prophets and false teachers before us today. Paul writes to us in verse 1, he says, some will depart from the faith. Let me give you a little Greek here. The Greek word for depart is the source of the English word apostatize. Apostatize. and refers to someone moving away from an original position. These are professing or nominal Christians who associate with those who truly believe the gospel, but defect after believing lies and deception, thus revealing their true nature as unconverted. You see, when you're born again of the Holy Spirit of truth, He will lead you into all truth, which is the Word of God. And a born-again Christian will want to study the Word of God and grow in it. If a born-again Christian is being influenced with false doctrine, the Spirit of God will then begin to share with them, hey, beware, beware, beware. That is not a right teaching. And then you'll begin to go through a process of trying to figure out, is that right or is it wrong? Because the Spirit of truth is leading you into all truth. We're not dummies. God has given us a mind. He's given us the ability to reason. He's given us the Word of God. And a born-again Christian will have that sense of, there's something not right about that preacher. There's something not right about that teaching. There's something not right. I need to find out truth. And then you go into the discovery process, and the Spirit of God drives you to learn all truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He just eliminated all of the religions and religious beliefs. He is the only one that gets us to heaven. He is the only truth. He is the only life. He is the only way. We find that we do not want to be a part of the great apostasy of the last days. The Holy Spirit through the Scriptures has repeatedly warned of the danger of apostasy. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, 4-14, he says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. They'll use his name, but they're not of him. They will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. I'm the way to God. I'm the way to heaven. And will deceive not a few, but what does he say? Many. For you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness. The end times especially will be like the days of Noah. They'll be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, we are told. Lawlessness against the laws of God. Natural laws, marriage, one man, one woman, against the laws of God, have moral laws that God says you have to live by. When a person repents, they're going to repent and start living for God according to the ways of Christ. They will follow him in his moral ways. You don't just say a prayer, oh, I'm saved to go in heaven, and you keep living immorally. That just proves that was just hot air going into the sky when you said the prayer. But a born-again Christian is one who has a sincere heart, who is honest with God, who's real. Lord, I will follow you all the days of my life. Lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Endures. Interesting word. Maintain your faith, my friends. Do not become a part of the great apostasy of the last days. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You might say, Pastor, are you kind of putting us on a slippery sheet of ice over the flames of hell that we might just slide off at any moment? No, my friends. Your salvation is built on a very firm and strong and broad salvation rock, if you will, foundation. But if you want to walk off the foundation, that's up to you. If you want to follow false prophets and false teachers because you will not follow the word of God, that would be up to you. We've been given everything for our salvation, but we must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The tree will bear its fruit. The tree will bear its fruit. It's either going to be good fruit following Christ or evil fruit following the ways of the world or following the ways of false prophets. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 31, Paul warns that church at Ephesus. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you, warn everyone night and day with tears." So within the body of Christ, it's like in the United States of America, we have foreign enemies, we have domestic enemies. In the church, we have foreign enemies, the world coming against us, and we have domestic enemies, those that are infiltrating us and bringing in false doctrines and false teachings, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons that want to seduce us away from the truth of Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12, we are warned, "Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." The word falling away is that Greek word again, apostasia. In the last days, there's going to be a falling away from the faith. Now, we coincide this with the church of Laodicea. Laodicea, the lukewarm church. They appear to be a Christian church, but Jesus says, "You're lukewarm, you make me sick, and I will vomit you out of my mouth." Why are they lukewarm? Because they are not following the word of God. That church organization is with us today, embracing evolution, embracing homosexuality and the immoral ways of our world today, embracing ecumenism, all the religions of the world. We don't want to be a part of that church, but rather we're the church of Philadelphia that keeps the word of God and will not deny his name. And Jesus says, "I will keep you from the hour of trial that will come upon the whole world," which is the great tribulation period. "I'll take you up in the rapture of the church." He warns this church in Thessalonica. He says, "Guys, I want to tell you there's going to be a falling away. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God," this is in the tribulation period, "showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way." The Holy Spirit is restraining through the body of Christ, which we are across this world. Full lawlessness is being restrained, but every month, every year, we see that is slowly but surely infecting and infiltrating our world, is rejecting God. Even governments are establishing laws that are completely contrary to God's laws. Abortion. Homosexuality, homosexual marriages, transgenderism. All of this is being indoctrinated into our school classrooms, our public schools. It is an introduction and an indoctrination by seducing spirits and doctrines of demons to lead people away, to cause our children to fully and completely rebel against God. We need to pray for our school teachers because they have to stand up against this. If they're a born-again Christian, you see, my friends, Jesus said if you offend one of these little children, it's better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the sea. Now, born-again Christians in the public school system have a decision to make. Will I teach children the deception of evolution? Will I teach children about homosexuality and indoctrinate them. Christian life is a battle. It is a place of war. It is a cultural war right now. And every Christian has to stand for their belief. We can't say, well, that's my job. No. We will not introduce and indoctrinate precious little children in the ways of homosexuality. When do we stand for righteousness? We all must stand for righteousness. Why do we vote for politicians who vote for abortion and they vote for homosexuality and homosexual marriages? I mean, we're talking about the lowest of sins, according to the scriptures, right before judgment comes. Yet people vote for the Democratic Party on a regular basis and they're Christians, they're Catholics. What are you thinking? What do you need? What explanation do you need to realize that is immorality, it is sin, it is an abomination to God? And you keep voting these people into office, you keep being a part of that party and doing these things? What are you thinking? We have to be thinking Christians. We're not in agreement with this world. But it's because people are not truly born again of the Holy Spirit. They do these things. So we have a lot of people that have a false relationship with God. And they need to repent of their sins and be born again of the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm born again Christian, I'm going to do all that I can to stand for righteousness. To stand up for these precious babies in the womb. And declare true marriage between a man and a woman. And I will never be in agreement. I want to reach their souls for Christ. Absolutely, 100%. But when it comes to our government and its laws, I cannot and will not be in agreement. And I will not proclaim it. And the day is coming. They're going to walk through the doors of this church. And they're going to tell us, you can't preach these scriptures in the Bible. It's coming. Hopefully the rapture will come first. The Bible then says, and then the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Unrighteous deception among those who perish. This is where you and I are truth deliverers, so that they will not perish with the lies of Satan and deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. He then says, because they did not receive, it says here, the coming of the lost one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, and all with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, the word of God. Well, I don't really think the Bible. You know, you're just a fundamentalist. You know, yeah, you bet. I follow the word of God. All of us do. Amen. You see. The love of the truth. God's word is truth. Jesus prayed, John 17:17. He said, Father, sanctify them with your word. Your word is truth. And this is why we preach the way we do. This is why we study the whole Bible. Now, he then says, and for this reason, God will send them. It says that they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we're to be preachers of truth and of righteousness, according to God's word. Will it cost us? Will people not like us? You bet. It's exactly what's going to happen. That's how it's always been in the church, with true, born-again, Bible-believing Christians. Hebrews 3:12-15. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, the apostasy of the last days. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. To the end, maintain your faith till the Lord takes you home or the rapture of the church, of course. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. In 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. The spirit of Antichrist against Jesus Christ, against God, against the Bible, against prayer, against God's righteousness. In Jude 18, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Spirit expressly says, in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. These are demonic spirits working through false teachers, through false prophets, who have left the truth, leading others to do the same. We must always remember that Satan is the master deceiver, and he will always look for a well-intentioned preacher or pastor or reverend, whatever you want to call him, to indoctrinate with falsehoods and or half-truths. You mean the man could be upright, appealing, great personality, and be preaching the wrong thing? Yes. Satan loves to instill false teachings. Remember, Satan is a master scripture twister. Remember in the temptation of Jesus, Jesus quoted the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then Satan goes, oh, okay, you want to do battle in scripture? So Satan quotes scripture, but leaves out part of the scripture. Listen, this is what happens to these preachers. They don't preach the full counsel of God's word. So ask the church or ask the preacher, do you preach on repentance? You know, that's, you know, it makes people feel bad, so we like to kind of stay away from that terminology. Do you preach on hell? Ah, that's too heavy, you know. We like to just lift people up. Do you preach the book of Revelation? Oh, it's too controversial, you know. We like to encourage and inspire and motivate. We like to have people to fulfill their dreams, you see. So we just kind of put our studies together as we just grab those scriptures that deal with those very prosperous scriptures for your soul and for your life. And we love it. It's just great. It's this Disneyland Christianity, and you can get money from God if you just do this formula. You know, they used to sell indulgences in the Roman Catholic Church years ago. What was that about? Well, you committed a sin, you go to the priest would say, well, that was a small one, this is what you owe. Oh, that was a big one. You owe a lot of money. And so you'd have to pay the Roman Catholic Church because of your sin, and that would get you right with God. Oh, and it made them wealthy. What a trick that was. Oh, but wait, Protestants are really good at it too. If you just plant your seed faith with our ministry, I'm telling you, you're going to get just tons of money back. You know, just $10, God will give you $100, give $100, God will give you $1,000. Come on, you can do it now. What a bunch of garbage. Protestant indulgences to get rich. And these churches are packed. and they're so deceived. The Bible says in 2 Peter, they're going to come to you and they are trained in covetousness. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. What are you thinking? You think the whole focus of the kingdom of God is about you getting prosperous, making money? I died for that. Where moths will tear down and thieves will come in and steal and rust will tear away? I died for that. I died that you'd repent of your sins, you'd live for me, you'd serve me, you'd honor me, you'd be a soul winner, and you'd preach the gospel. You might say, oh, Pastor, you get a little too upset at times. Yeah, so did Jesus, amen? Amen. He flipped over the tables and chased them out of the temple. See, we must understand the same thing's going on in Jesus' day, the same thing going on in church today. The blind lead the blind, and both will fall into the ditch. We find here in John 8, 44 to 45, Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, you're of your father, the devil. That's not nice. What are you saying that for? It was true. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. In 1 John 4, 1 to 6, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he was in you is greater than, he was in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we're warned once again that the spirit of Antichrist is with us to deny Jesus Christ. The Bible says here there are deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. An entire false religious system or doctrine can be established through doctrines of demons. That which is erroneous, leading people away from the truth. This is why we want to study what other religions teach and believe, and we want to bring to them the truth of Jesus Christ, and we pray for them to come out of those false religious systems that have been established by doctrines of demons. Now, they don't understand it. They don't get it, but we get it. And so we are able to say, no, all religions don't lead to God. You see, in the Old Testament, with the children of Israel, especially when the kingdom became divided after King Solomon, the northern kingdom embraced all the religions that were around them. And so they had statues and idols of all these different religions, and they practiced their practices, which were all immoral, and they worshiped these gods. And they also maintained Yahweh, the God of Israel, because, well, we better keep him too. We have all the others because they're all one. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. I am the one and only true God. And so he says, the Assyrians are coming in and you're going to be taken captive until you repent of your sins. Those gods cannot and will not save you, but I save you. But because you've rejected me and you followed them, now the Assyrians are coming in to take you over. And it was only a matter of time where the southern kingdom, Judah, also did the exact same thing. And the Babylonians came in and took them out. And in that time period of their captivity, it drove them to a place of repentance. So they were allowed to return back into the land. But then once again, we see the repetition take place, where even when the Messiah shows up on their doorstep, they crucify him. Why? One reason. They left the word God. They did not study their prophets, they did not study their history, they did not study the Torah, and they did not recognize that Jesus is their Mashiach, the Messiah. Now here, I'm here to tell you, my friends, the Lord is coming a second time. He's not coming for an apostate church, a harlot church. He's coming for a true bride, a true church that follows his word. That's the church we have to be. Doctrines of demons, an entire false religion can be established through doctrines of demons, that which is erroneous, leading people away from the truth. What is true doctrine? What is true doctrine? We have to find out the counterfeit. We need to know the truth, right? It is a body of beliefs about God, man, Christ, the church, and other related concepts considered authoritative and thus worthy of acceptance by all members of the community of faith. Christ condemned the doctrine of the Pharisees because it was of human origin. Did you hear that? He condemned the doctrine of the Pharisees. Matthew 15:9, Mark 7:7. So when I speak out against other religious teachings, I believe I'm in good company with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could tell you that everybody's right on and going to heaven, but it's not the way. You must be born again of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of truth will lead you to the Word of truth, and that proves that you're a born-again Christian. But if you keep following a false doctrine, now, let's say I had someone call in and ask, can a Roman Catholic be saved and still remain in a Roman Catholic church? I think a Roman Catholic can become born again in their life individually, and I believe ultimately they'll finally walk away from the Roman Catholic Church because they'll start reading the Word of God for themselves, or they'll start listening and seeking it in truth, and also they'll start making comparisons, and they're going to go, we got some real problems here. And I think they'll walk away and leave because they're born again. They're born again of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Protestant Reformation is still going on. The 95 Theses of Martin Luther, yes, they still are hounding the Roman Catholic Church, and they haven't repented and returned to the unadulterated Word of God. They maintain these false doctrines and teachings. True doctrine, a body of beliefs about God, man, Christ, the church, and other related concepts considered authoritative and thus worthy of acceptance by all members of the community of faith. Christ condemned the doctrine of the Pharisees because it was of human origin. After Pentecost, Christian doctrine began to be systematized. Acts 2:42 we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Doctrinal instruction was given by special teachers, according to 1 Corinthians 12:28-29, Galatians 6:6, to those who had responded to the gospel in Romans 6:17. The earliest doctrine of the Christian church declared, number one, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, Acts 3:18. Secondly, that God had raised him from the dead, Acts 1:22, 2:24, and verse 32. And thirdly, that salvation was by faith in his name, Acts 2:38, as well as verse 16. These three truths were presented as a clear fulfillment of the promises of the Old Testament. Paul taught that true doctrine is essential for Christian growth. We read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And Jesus, he himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We're all unified in sound doctrine according to the Word of God. That's where our unity is found. It's not this sloppy agape. Oh, let's just love each other and you can teach anything you want. No, we love the truth because we love God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. We love him, and we go to him because he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 1:1, sanctify them with your word is truth. We're unified in the Word of God. The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the false teachings, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. When we come to the truth, we're going to build each other up in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we have to have truth first. Then the love is true love, according to the Word of God. But he says to us, very, very important warning, He says, hey, I don't want you to be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, he's telling me, Daryl, be on the lookout for deceivers, for tricksters. They plot, they scheme, they twist the scriptures to lead us astray. If you're 1 degree flying from here to L.A., you're going to miss L.A. Amen? 1 Timothy 4:6, if you instruct the brethren, Timothy, in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nursed in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. That's what every pastor must do, keep sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 6:3-5, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Those who use the word of God to get their own financial gain. Do you not see that with all these health and wealth preachers? Was it Duplantis was just saying, oh, I can't decide if I want to get this Learjet or that Learjet. You know, it's $52 million. God is just... Money doesn't mean that you're truly saved. What means you're truly saved is you will teach and preach and keep the word of God in sound doctrine, and you'll stop ripping off the people. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. False doctrine destroys the church. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 5 says, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, right? It says, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to stories. In other words, I don't want to hear the word of God. I want to hear stories. I want to hear motivational speeches. I don't want the word of God. That's too boring. Doctrine, are you serious? Oh, doctrine. Oh, my gosh. That's how it is today. You're gonna teach us the book of Leviticus? Are you serious? You see, my friends, he says they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to the congregations, the people, according to their own desires. Tell us what we want to hear. Tickle my ear. Entertain me. They will have itching ears. They will heap up teachers. And the teachers are the pastors who say, the people really like this, and they really like me. I'll keep doing it, man. You're in sin when you do not and will not preach and teach the fullness of the word of God. You're an ear tickler, my friend. They have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves, teacher. They will turn their ears away from the truth. Be turned aside to stories. But you, Timothy, be watchful. You, every pastor, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Who will fall prey to false doctrine? Those who do not love God. Deuteronomy 13:1-3 says, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. How can a leader of what's called the Christian Church, Roman Catholicism, take the Quran and kiss it and say it's a holy book? How can you, as a leader of what we would call the largest Christian church in the world, Roman Catholicism, get a prayer gathering with all these religious leaders, from Hindus to shamans to witch doctors to Islam and all, and gather together and pray?
How can it be?
What does he say? Let us go after other gods and serve them? Are you serious? Those who have an evil heart of unbelief is another way of falling prey to false doctrine. Hebrews 3:12-14, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it still is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Those who won't believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, 1-10 talks about that. There'll be mockers in the last days. Now, we believe Jesus coming. He could come tonight for us, right now. We're ready. We're ready because we believe the Word of God. The Word of God has spoken it. We believe it, and we're ready. Those who walk according to their ungodly lust, Jude 17-21 says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. Those who won't believe in creation, we find that displayed in Romans chapter 1, verses 16-32, that they take the image of the incorruptible God and turn it into corruptible man or statues or animals and so forth. Evolution. You've come from a monkey. This is Christian America propagating this lie to all the children for years upon years upon years. And there's absolutely zero scientific evidence. Those that won't love the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-17, we read that passage already, the way of mystery of lawlessness. Remember, the devil will always attack the following doctrines. I took the word doctrine, broke it down. For the letter D of doctrine, the deity of Jesus Christ. That's always under attack. That's where false religious systems get established, cults. How about obedience to the Word of God, the letter O? How about C, Jesus is the one and only Christ. There are not many ways to heaven. How about the letter T, he will attack the Trinity. How about the letter R, he will attack redemption through the blood of Christ. You have to join an organization, do these things, and then you finally get right with God. You got to worship on Saturday, then you're truly saved. No, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You can only eat these foods, and then you're saved. No, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend. How about the letter I, infallibility of the Bible? The Bible is inerrant and is infallible. It is authoritative. It is all sufficient. How about N? Salvation through the new birth. Salvation through the new birth. You must be born again. It's not being religious. Well, I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Methodist. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Calvary Chapelite, for that matter. No. Are you born again? When did you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Has your life changed? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? How about the letter E, eternal life through Christ? He'll attack these doctrines. The Bible says that people have a seared conscience in regards to the things that are against Christ. They live opposite of what we're supposed to be living. And in that, they have a seared conscience. It's like a medical term referring to cauterization. It's like you've been cauterized and there's a scar tissue. And then no longer, you just live for sin instead of living for Christ. And it doesn't bother you anymore. Abstaining from foods. It talks about these deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They say that's how you become righteous, by abstaining from foods, or you only worship on Saturdays. If you want to worship on Saturday, I got no problem with it. Go ahead. But don't tell me that's the means of salvation. How about abstaining from marriage? Look at the Roman Catholic Church, these poor priests. God establishes marriage in the very first book of Genesis. Man and a woman. You don't have to be single. And in fact, when you study the pastoral epistles, it talks about the pastor and his wife be married, united together in the work of the kingdom. Does it make you more godly if you never marry as a priest or anything like that? Does it make you more godly? Now, if you choose that as a way of life, there's no problem with that. But I'm just saying, does it make you more godly? May make you more frustrated. And I encourage you, get married, man. Get married. It's better to marry than burn, the Bible says. In verses 6 to 11, we always practice a threefold doctrinal test. Number one, did Jesus teach or practice it in the Gospels? We always observe, what am I being taught? Is this, it seems a little weird. What am I being taught? Did Jesus practice that and teach in the Gospels? How about number two? Was it taught and practiced in the book of Acts? That's the working of the Holy Spirit on the early church and all believers. How about number three? Are we given instructions through the epistles, Romans to Revelation? For example, slain in the Spirit. It's been around for a while. Did Jesus teach that? Did he practice it? Did he walk up to disciples and whack them in the head? Come here, Peter. Oh, look at that. That was a good fall. Do we see it in the book of Acts? Nope. Do we have instructions regarding that practice in the epistles, Romans to Revelation? Can't find it. Why are we doing it in the church? You know that pagan religions do that also? Could it be a deceiving spirit? Where people think that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is when you get whacked in the head and fall over? And you convulse on the ground? One guy taught that you need to be drunk in the Spirit from South Africa, Rodney Howard Brown. Went through all the churches on TBN and so forth. Be drunk in the Spirit. People are staggering through the congregation. I'm filled with the Spirit. I am so joyful. Yeah. Ladies are falling down. They're throwing blankets on them to cover them because their dresses, all this stuff. My Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Why in the world, when the Spirit of God is to lead me to imitate Jesus Christ, who was not a drunkard. So would we not say that it was a false teaching? Absolutely. Where's all the preachers and the pastors say, that's wrong, get out. You see, my friends, I'm not here to make everybody happy. I'm here to declare truth. To get along with everybody? No, we all get along because we're unified in the Word of God, which is the Word of truth. So why are these churches still practicing this stuff when you can't find it in the Bible? Well, the people like it. Nickels and noses. Brings in the money. We're full. And they will heap up to themselves teachers, and you're one of them. Shame on you. Get back to the Bible and repent and preach the unadulterated Word of God, the Word of truth, in sound doctrine. Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, statement of faith. The triune God. We believe in the Trinity. We affirm our belief in one God, infinite spirit, creator and sustainer of all things, who exists eternally in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one in essence, but distinct in person and function. We also believe in God the Father. We affirm that the Father is the first person of the triune Godhead and the source of all that God is and does. From him, the Son is eternally generated, and from them, the Spirit eternally proceeds. He is the designer of creation, the speaker of revelation, the author of redemption, and the sovereignty of history. We have scriptures listed. We believe in God the Son. We affirm that the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, eternally begotten from the Father. He is God. He was conceived by the Virgin Mary through a miracle of the Holy Spirit. He lives forever as a perfect God and perfect man, two distinct natures, inseparably united in one person. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. We affirm the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, proceeding from the Father, the Son, and equal in deity. He is the giver of all life, active in the creating and ordering of the universe. He is the agent of inspiration and the new birth. He restrains sin and Satan. He baptizes simultaneous to salvation and dwells and sanctifies all believers. We affirm that the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to every believer for the edification of the body of Christ, and that these gifts are distributed by God's sovereign design. How about the Scripture? We affirm the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, though written by men, was supernaturally inspired by God, so that all its words are the written true revelation of God. It is therefore inerrant in the originals and authoritative in all matters. It is to be understood by all believers through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, its meaning determined by the historical, grammatical, and literary use of the author's language, comparing Scripture with Scripture. We believe that God's Word has been preserved in many translations throughout the world. How about creation? We affirm that all things were created by God. Angels were created as ministering agents, though some, under the leadership of Satan, fell from their sinless state to become agents of evil. The universe was created in 6 literal days and is continuously sustained by God. Thus, it both reflects His glory and reveals His truth. Human beings were directly created, not evolved, in the very image of God. As reasoning moral agents, they are responsible under God for understanding and governing themselves and the world. How about man? We affirm that man was created in the image of God, having personality, ability to think, decide, and feel. We affirm that Adam, the first man, willfully disobeyed God, bringing sin and death into the world. As a result, all persons are sinners from conception, which is evidenced in their willful acts of sin, and they are therefore subject to eternal punishment under the just condemnation of a holy God. How about the work of Christ? We affirm that Jesus Christ offered Himself as a sacrifice by the appointment of the Father. He fulfilled the demands of God by His obedient life, died on the cross in full substitution and payment for the sins of all, was buried, and on the third day He rose physically and bodily from the dead. He ascended into heaven, where He now intercedes for all believers. The doctrine of salvation. We affirm that each person can be saved only through the work of Jesus Christ by faith alone in Him as Lord and Savior. The believer is declared righteous, born again by the Holy Spirit, forgiven of all sin, and assured of heaven. How about sanctification? We affirm that the Holy Spirit indwells all who are born again, conforming them to the likeness of Jesus Christ. This is the process completed only in heaven. This process is completed only in heaven. Every believer is responsible to live in obedience to the Word of God and separation from sin. In regards to the church, we affirm that the universal church is the body of Christ composed of all born-again believers. We affirm that a local church is an assembly of baptized believers under the discipline of the Word of God and the Lordship of Christ, organized to carry out the commission to evangelize, to teach, and to administer the ordinances of believers' baptism and the Lord's table. It functions through the ministry of gifts given by the Holy Spirit to each believer. How about marriage? We had to put this in here. We affirm that marriage is exclusively the legal union of one genetic male and one genetic female, and that this union is evidenced by marriage ceremony. We also affirm that legitimate biblical sexual relations are exercised solely within marriage. Hence, sexual activities such as, but not limited to, adultery, fornication, premarital sex, incest, polygamy, homosexuality, transgenderism, bisexuality, cross-dressing, pedophilia, and bestiality are inconsistent with the teachings of the Bible and the church. Further, lascivious behavior, the creation, viewing, and or distribution of pornography, and efforts to alter one's physical gender or gender-related appearance are incompatible with a true biblical witness. Human life. We affirm that all human life is sacred and created by God in His image. Human life is of inestimable worth in all its dimensions, including preborn babies, the aged, the physically or mentally challenged, and every other stage or condition from conception through natural death. We are therefore called to defend, protect, and value all human life. How about future things? We affirm that the return of Christ for all believers is imminent, could happen in any moment. It will be followed by 7 years of great tribulation, and then the coming of Christ to establish His earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. The unsaved will then be raised and judged according to their works and separated forever from God in hell. The saved, having been raised, will live forever in heaven and fellowship with God. In witness and service, we affirm the responsibility of each believer, motivated by the love of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, to witness for Christ that the great commandment and the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ to give the gospel to every creature throughout the world are still incumbent on every believer. We believe in the will, power, and providence of God to meet our every need in His service, likewise to live sacrificially for the proclamation of the gospel into the entire world. Final authority of matters and conduct. The statement of faith does not exhaust the extent of our beliefs. The Bible itself is the inspired and infallible Word of God that speaks with authority concerning truth, morality, and the proper conduct of mankind, is the sole and final source of all we believe, all that we believe. For the purposes of Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor's faith, doctrine, practice, policy, and discipline, our pastors are the Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor's final interpretive authority of the Bible's meaning and application. In verse 12, Timothy was encouraged to develop 6 attributes that we must also develop as a solid Christian. Number one, we're to have a conduct of Christ communication in our word, of Christ's life in our conduct, of Christ's commandments in love. That is, we will love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love our neighbor as ourselves. We will love one another with the love of Jesus Christ. In spirit, that is Christ's inspiration. We are inspired by Christ and the Word of God to live for Him. In faith, we are people of prayer. We believe in God and all that He can do in us and through us. In purity, Christ's holiness. We're not going to live for sin. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. We're going to live for Jesus Christ and the holiness of God. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is our Christian life, my friends. If you're going to follow Christ, we're going to deny ourselves. We're going to follow Jesus all the way to heaven. Every pastor in verses 13 to 16 must give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, which equals true salvation. This is what every pastor must be doing. Reading the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, exhortation, that is to encourage you in the Word of God, to exhort you in the Word of God, yes, even rebuke you in the Word of God if need be, but always maintain sound biblical doctrine. I'll end with this. Warren Wiersbe writes these words, as good ministers, we preach the Word. As godly ministers, we practice the Word. As growing ministers, we progress in the Word. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your word today in spiritual warfare. We see there are many deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons throughout our world. And Lord, we are to be those that are truth proclaimers from the Word of God. To declare your word in all of its fullness, from Genesis to Revelation. To believe in it literally with all our heart. And so, Lord, may your word go forth from our hearts to all people. May we not compromise it, manipulate it, eradicate it, destroy it, but may we embrace it, believe it, practice it, and declare it. So, Lord, we trust in you to do a great, mighty work in us and through us. We pray for those that are caught up in cults and false religions. We pray for those that are caught up in false lifestyles. And we pray, Lord, that they would come to know you personally, to know the truth and the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, my dear friend, are you saved? Maybe you need to return to the Lord. Maybe you've never been born again. If you'd like to become born again right now, return to the Lord, then please raise your hand. Anybody here need to get right with God, you raise your hand right now saying, God, I want to repent. I want to get right with you. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, I commit my whole heart to you now in Jesus' name. Anybody here, you need to do that. Raise your hand. Father, anoint your people mightily and abundantly. May you use our lives to declare your light, your love, and your life constantly to all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.